I fear this is our last meeting. At least while Mr. Johnson is in life. His business at Hartford has become extensive. If I continue to see you, he vows to settle in Connecticut forever.
I had a feeling that the great word respectable would someday divide us. Your husband I abhor, but we must yield to necessity.
The British actress Kate Beckinsale is no stranger to the novels of Jane Austen. She starred in the 1996 television movie Emma, which is based on the Austen book of the same name. But even die-hard Austen fans might be unfamiliar with Lady Susan. It's an obscure novella published well after Austen's death, and it's the source material for Beckinsale's new movie, Love and Friendship. The film is adapted by the writer-director Whit Stillman, who directed Beckinsale in The Last Days of Disco almost 20 years ago. And like that film, this movie also co-stars Chloe Sevigny, who you heard in that clip. In the movie, Beckinsale plays Lady Susan Vernon. She's a widowed woman scheming to find herself a new mate and some more money as she peddles off her daughter to a blithering fool. The story may be set in the 18th century, but Lady Susan behaves very much like a hyper-confident 21st century woman, albeit one strapped into a corset with some dubious morals. When Beckinsale stopped by the frame recently, I asked her to tell us the backstory of Jane Austen's Lady Susan novella.
She apparently wrote it when she was around 20, and it definitely feels, you know, a lot more extreme in terms of a central character and her behaviour than some of the better-known works. And then it was, I guess, put in a drawer and she forgot about it. And then I think 40 or 50 years after she died, her nephew published it, and he gave it the title Lady Susan, which was his title. So I think Whit Stillman, the director, felt he didn't have to be kind of super loyal to the title because it was not chosen by Jane Austen. So he lifted a title from another unpublished novella.
This word probably didn't exist in the 18th century, but I think it's fair to call Lady Susan ballsy.
Ballsy for sure. Yeah.
Is that a,
yeah,
or are there definitely other adjectives that come to mind?
Yeah. I mean, I sort of like to think of her as one of, you know, as like a broad in those, you know, in those sense of like Barbara Stanwyck used to play and Betty Davis and all that. She's just kind of, she's sort of at the height of all her powers, really. And what I like about her, you know, which is sort of redeeming, I think, is that what she's really doing is sort of pioneeringly bucking the system of the sort of social situation that women were in at that period of time.
This idea just occurs to me. She is a sexual suffragette.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. And I think, you know, given that the social norm was that for a woman who generally was denied a, you know, a further education and career opportunities and ability to be financially independent, the, really the thing was who am I going to marry? Who's going to keep me from the poorhouse? And she's gone through one husband, he's died, and so now she's in a situation where she has to find another one. But what's different about her is that she's, you know, she could find some old rich man fairly easily, but she's also not prepared for that to be her only sexual partner. And so the freedom of you know, her sexual freedom, her financial freedom, she's sort of going for all of those, which, you know, I think most women didn't.
You are well educated and you've read probably a lot of Jane Austen. When you read books like Emma and Sense and Sensibility, do you see little hints of Lady Susan, or do you think Jane Austen was in some way scared of what Lady Susan represented, that she was a 21st century heroine living in the 18th century?
I mean, I think the point is that, you know, Jane Austen was writing during a period of, you know, really profound change and social change. And so I think, I don't know, I like the fact that she talked about Emma as being this very unlikable character. And I actually don't think Emma's an unlikable character, certainly from the perspective of our period of time. But, you know, she wasn't shy of a well-rounded character with flaws and faults and all that. But I suppose fancifully, I've always thought of Lady Susan as being, as a woman from that period of time herself, Jane Austen, who's clearly a genius, very, you know, bright and smart, and obviously dealing with some level herself of frustration about the constraints that are put on her. I sort of always seen Lady Susan as being her sort of kind of roar against that, and then kind of going, oh, that's a bit much, I probably shouldn't publish it, kind of, you know. And so, yeah, I guess so.
Whit Stillman, for people who love his films, probably know him best from Metropolitan, but he is somebody who is an unusual combination in that he's very much in love with language. He's very precise about the words in which he writes and the way in which he wants those words spoken, and yet he's also in some ways a painter who is constantly improvising and changing the colors in a scene. So what is it like as an actor where you have somebody who's written very dialogue-heavy screenplay, and yet I suspect on some days might want to do something different and abandon what you've got planned?
And I think that's what I'd forgotten, actually, from because my character was my character in Last Days of Disco was fairly verbose, actually, and then obviously this one was 20 times more. And I was pestering Whit a lot before we started shooting for, you know, a final shooting draft, so that because we only had 27 days to shoot the movie, I wanted to make sure I'd learned everything before I turned up. And he was extremely coy about that. And what I'd forgotten was that he does actually like to sort of be very in the moment and sort of, you know, the night before will suddenly think, oh, actually, I'd like this speech to be completely changed around. So I would sit in the makeup trailer dreading seeing him coming around the side going, oh, no, what's he going to do? And the thing is, he has such supreme confidence in your ability to completely reshuffle your brain and actually spit the dialogue out that you just kind of do. You know, so it is a bit terrifying, but I don't know. I love the fact that, like, for example, there's a character in the movie played by Tom Bennett who's very, very funny and responsible for kind of the sort of the broadest comedy in the movie. And the part on the page was, you know, funny and certainly in the novel fairly minor and not very well drawn. And then once the actor showed up, who was so brilliant with this, you know, complete performance at the read-through even. Whit got very inspired by that and sort of invented a couple extra scenes for him, which was so wonderful to kind of see that happening as well.
We're talking with Kate Beckinsale. Her new movie is called Love and Friendship. How do you find the key to a character like this? Whit gives you a story. You know Jane Austen and her world. What are the keys for you for playing this character in a period film?
I mean, the thing about Whit is he just really doesn't like rehearsal at all. So you don't have any of that.
You don't have any of that. No. So that doesn't help.
No, I think he's like, he likes to cast things very precisely so that he sort of kind of knows what to expect, that what your kind of particular rhythms and cadences, you know, what you're going to bring to, he sort of already knows that, I think. And for me, you know, I do a lot of kind of academic-y type work on the script and the novella. I went to Oxford. That's how I know how to work on things, is by sort of almost doing a little thesis on it to kind of root myself in it. And then I spent quite a lot of time, you know, just reading around the period and what the situation was like for a woman of that period of time and all of that. And then the costumes do really help, actually, because they are incredibly restrictive and they just give you a bit of a window, just in terms of like that no one's able to even get themselves dressed independently.
They need to be laced into their corset, right?
Yeah, so, you know, every single morning when I'm getting ready to go to work, I've got a woman coming in carrying all these things and putting my corset on me. And that was sort of how it would be like. And you do get a sense of, like, there's not really much kind of comfortable alone time as one of these women.
I think that's true. As you're thinking about a film like this and a character who is obviously a fictional character but lived in a real time and is based on things that happened at the time, do you appreciate more what modern women have, or does it make you wish that maybe things were better then? How does it change your perspective, the way in which modern life is lived, based on what you know about how people got along in the 18th century?
I think it seems so unbearably horrible for women in that period. I might, just the sheer fact of, isn't it true that Jane Austen couldn't publish under her own name? I mean, this is like an outrageous thought now. But the only thing I do miss is that, obviously, this is an epistolary novella, and, you know, the kind of anticipation of letter writing and the fulsomeness of these letters, you know, we have lost that a bit. You know, everything's sort of rather more immediate and you know, and texting and all that's fun and funny, but there's something about sort of waiting, desperately waiting for a letter. And, you know, I think it's a shame we've lost that a bit.
When you are trying to figure out the kinds of movies that you want to make, how does your criteria evolve? And what are the things that are important to you? And are the things that are important to you harder and harder to find?
You know, it's one of those things that, you know, sometimes a really well-drawn character and a wonderful director comes around and sometimes it doesn't. And I don't think that has been restricted to the sort of latter part of my career. I there was huge times in my early career where, you know, there just wasn't anything sort of that interesting, you know. And I think now, actually, it's probably become better for very young actresses than it was when I started out. I remember being sort of, oh God, I can't wait till I'm in my mid-30s, because that's when all the actresses get to, you know, and I think it has changed a bit. I think there are some really good parts for much younger women now. But like I said, this is probably one of my favourite parts I've ever had, you know, and this is the oldest I've ever been. So it's not really translating into, oh no, I'm a terrible dried up old tortoise and nobody wants me. It's just, you know, I don't feel like I've really had that effect. I'm sure it's coming, but it hasn't happened yet.
At a certain point, do you go out and seek material to develop on your own? Is it important that you find projects either as, you know, a screenwriter or start producing some actresses have done this, some actors have done it. Is that something that you think about and want to do?
Yeah, I didn't think about it too much when I had a very small child, because I found the juggle of that and being an actor just sort of enough. I've always been a huge reader. So in terms of that stuff, I there's just the sheer volume of stuff that I'm able to read. It seems like a waste if I'm not also sort of casting my mind around a bit for what might be an interesting project. So in the last couple of years, yes, I have been a bit more, you know, looking at that. And I am starting a screenplay. I'm doing, in the middle of actually doing a screenplay with another writer at the moment. And that's nice because, you know, what you do realise is that as an actor, you are, you know, very much a kind of very... a cog in the machine, and that it's a director's medium, obviously, and it's quite nice to be involved from a kind of grassroots level in terms of a character and a story and the look of something.
Kate Beckinsale, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.